Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Shollycast. As always, I'm here with Dr. X, and in this episode, we have a very special guest, Misery. Welcome, Misery.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, Misery, what kind of content creation do you do? Like, what do you like to work on?
I usually like to draw fan art, and as early as probably 2018, I would say, that is when my Disney fixation got skyrocketed, or at least, you know, started out with drawing Pinocchio. And after like revisiting his movies, like I usually sometimes rewatch some old Disney movies, but I felt a stronger connection with Pinocchio, mostly because he was a very, very, very cute Shota, in my opinion. And personally, for me, the way I view his movie was very Shota bait, so to speak. So I took that inspiration and wanted to, you know, draw it out in many situations as I could. And also a lot of yaoi in there. But yeah, I mostly am just a Fujo who just likes to draw cute boys, you know. And also, I am a VTuber on the side. I go by Misery Dollhouse on Twitter, and as well as Twitch and YouTube and all that stuff. So yeah, I play like a lot of games sometimes, stream movies on Pomp as well. The whole kit and caboodle. That's me.
And you're also currently taking commissions, is that right?
Yes, I have just recently reopened, so I have 5 slots open currently.
All right, so if anyone wants super cute Shota or Lolly art, hit her up.
Yeah, you can hit me up on Barag, because it's the safest place to contact me as opposed to Twitter.
Yes, and we'll provide those links in the podcast video so people can easily get to your page.
Yeah.
You were really getting into Disney around 2018. Did you have a lot of experience with Disney before that?
Oh yeah, that it was a very large factor in my childhood. But it was over the years very on and off sometimes. But there was always still a love for Disney in me, especially through Kingdom Hearts and all that stuff. But I was always an anime fan on the side as well. But there was always like a lot of anime Shotas, but don't really remember any that stood out to me as much as Pinocchio did, because of his cuteness that really sold me, and the fact that he was easily manipulated throughout the movie. It was like, oh, this is tasty content. And the fact that this was 1940, I know for a fact this has to be like a catalyst for like Shotacon, like the blueprint. Like, I know for a fact that Osamu Tezuka was heavily inspired by Disney, and Pinocchio was the main factor for creating Astro Boy. So to me, this feels like, you know, the godfather of Shota. It's because of Disney.
That's a really interesting and great point. And because Astro Boy is one of the OGs, but a lot of people don't think about Pinocchio.
Yeah. They don't really regard Pinocchio as much as a Shota, because there is always the excuse like, oh, so many splinters, but it's like, it's a magical puppet. Who cares? If they're splinters, look how cute and small he is. I just want to grab him and just shake him violently.
And so you would say that that anime kind of made you aware and like Shota's, but it's Pinocchio was what really stood out for you.
Yeah, I believe so. There has always been like other anime Shota's that like, you know, caught my attention, like for example, Seal Phantom Hive being one. But I don't know, something about, you know, watching Pinocchio really like lit a fire in me, so to speak.
Now, was Pinocchio your first Disney movie that you've ever seen that you can remember?
I don't think it was the first, but it was definitely one of many. I don't know what my first would be. Judging by my knowledge of VHSs I collected, it could have just been any of the Renaissance movies or probably Snow White.
But, okay. Yep. That's the same thing as me then.
Yeah. But I remember in my childhood, I was very fixated on Alice in Wonderland. And to me, she's like peak Lolly.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I gravitate more towards Shota. So that's probably why I would prefer Pinocchio. Although, if it weren't for Pinocchio, I would have probably gravitated towards Peter Pan because he's also a really great Shota, but also far more bratty. And I do like that in the Shota, but I would consider him maybe like second place.
Mm-hmm. So your favorite kind of Shota is more like Pinocchio?
Yeah, kind of like the cute and innocent one, but like easily gullible, can be manipulated. Because he does get, you know, manipulated by the fox and other dubious characters.
Diddly D. Yeah. A natural life for me. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I noticed some of that in your art where, like your yaoi art with Pinocchio, some of that kind of gullibility. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I ship him a lot with Lampwick just because I like the good boy but versus the bad boy dynamic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like the kind of like the opposites, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like the opposites.
And
Oh, you go ahead.
So basically, I think you mentioned earlier that you were a Fujo. So if for people who don't know what that is, can you explain what it is?
Fujo is basically a Japanese term for like rotten girl. It's like girls who like gravitate towards yaoi and BL content in general. I guess the opposite for yuri is like himejashi, either one of the two. Some of them are like gender neutral, gender like for either for guys or girls who like the term, but I don't know. I sometimes I get them mixed up, but I think Fujo is like the girls who like yaoi. I think Fundashi is for boys who like yaoi, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. Yeah, I watched this anime. All the episodes are pretty short, but I think it was like The Daily Life of a Fundashi. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty amusing. It was this straight guy who liked yaoi because of like the character dynamics in the story. It was amusing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it right that you're mostly into yaoi?
I would think so. I don't mind yuri as much, but it doesn't catch my attention nearly as much as when boys are involved.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have done some straight Shota stuff or straight stuff as well. Is that right?
Yeah, a few of them. Because I think the easiest pair you can do is Pinocchio with the Blue Fairy.
Yes, that's a go-to.
I saw that great piece you did of him getting his butthole fingered by her.
Oh yeah, that was a pretty good commission I worked on.
Yes. Yeah. Did you do any other art of that pairing?
I haven't, but I am open to the idea if it were to, you know, anyone were to ask me to commission it. Because yes. I have seen like a few like... I guess not safe for work art of them. And usually Pinocchio with the Blue Fairy is like a very easy pairing to do, which left me disappointed because then there's like none for like Pinocchio and Lampwick. And I'm like, damn it.
So were you like the first artist that you've ever seen to do that pairing?
Maybe. I mean, I've seen like a very, very few stuff, but it's mostly Thor's, the very transformation type thing, which it isn't for me personally, but I don't recall seeing a lot of Pinocchio Lampwick not safe for work stuff. I have seen a few that were safe for work, and I think that did inspire me to actually tackle that ship myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, after a while, I've seen like a lot of people come up to me and be like, huh, I never thought of this shipping before, or I never thought of looting Pinocchio before. Like, to them, it seemed like such a rare thing to find. And I'm like, and I'm just like holding their shoulders, like that meme, like, you don't understand. It's so Shota bait. You need to see what I see. You're missing out on something good.
Yeah, I would. It really seems to me, if someone is really into Shota and they're interested in Shota history, they should really watch this film.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the cornerstone of Shota. I mean, look at him. They got like this several artists who worked on this movie in the 40s. And from what I gather, it took them a year just to find the right design for Pinocchio. Until they had one of their artists, I believe he was part of the Nine Old Men, Milt Kahl, who ended up having the finalized design for Pinocchio, which is what we see today. Which, it boggles my mind that it would take so long just to create the perfect Shota.
That reminds me of the process we had for Sexual Awakening. Both one and two. It was super important for us that the Shota protagonist was cute. Like,
oh yeah,
that's like,
yep. Yeah.
I think many Lolly and Shota creators or enjoyers would agree that cuteness is like the most important thing.
Yes, cuteness is a immediate factor. That's how you draw people in. But yeah, I know exactly. There's like different flavors to, you know, people, how they prefer to show it up. But still, I think cuteness is definitely a strong factor.
Yes. And you can still have a cuteness, even if the Shota's kind of bratty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So other than the sort of bad boy with the innocent boy sort of thing, what else drew you to Pinocchio? And if you don't know, that's the isn't that the ship name?
Yeah, Pinocchio. That's the one I came up with. There was a longer one that I saw on Tumblr because there was a very small circle of people who were worshipping them, but a few of them were like aged up, like both of them. Oh. I'm like, nah, yeah.
No thanks.
The full version was like Pinocchio, but I thought, you know, why not shorten it to like Pinocchio? You know.
Yeah, that rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, mostly what came around with that ship, I just really liked the Pleasure Island sequence before, you know, shit hit the fan. When they
Yes.
Yeah, I just like that, you know, Pinocchio is like very gullible and just follows Lampwick with whatever he's doing, like smoking drugs, breaking shit. And I was like,
playing pool and...
Yeah, and it's like, that is very cute that what they're doing. Like, he finally found a friend and it's like the worst boy you can imagine. And I was following a few artists on Tumblr, which I had mentioned. And there were a few that did draw them like in their canon age, like some ship art. And I was like, I gotta practice and actually draw it and use that as a inspiration to catapult myself to drawing more of them. And before, funny enough, I drew them together like it's as like a thinking it was a one-off. It's like, huh, look, I drew the two, haha, ain't that funny, let me draw another one and then another one and then another one. And then it just kind of like, oh, oops, all yaoi, I guess.
Oops, all yaois.
Yes.
It's like the cereal.
Yeah. After a while, I went on to discover like other adaptions of them, especially the novel. And the novel, they did had a bit more time together, and the way the dialogue is written next to them seemed like very lovingly towards each other for a while. Even though it was very short-lived, it gave me more fuel to keep this ship going, even though it was literally just myself. And there were a few people I did come in contact with who were also interested, but unfortunately, being a loli show that I am, it was short-lived. Because everyone else around me was normies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's an unfortunate drawback when that happens, yeah.
Yeah, I realized that the Pinocchio fandom, as small as it wasn't very it wasn't very, you know, Shota-con. Even though the movie is very Shota-bait, but most of the fans are just normies who are not very keen on that subculture, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different dynamic compared to, like, anime.
Like, I was fine that I was drawing something niche, but at the same time, I can, like, you know, put my own spin on it, like, pour my own ideas, because it's so small, and since there wasn't a lot of fans, there wasn't a lot of people who were going to be like, hey, you can't do that. Pinocchio would never say something like that. And I'm like, no, this is my city now.
That's great. And after you started doing all your art and chipping, do you feel like you created more fans of the pairing?
I feel like I gotten more people to appreciate it. Not so much like full-time shipping. I mean, there were a few people who contact me and said like, oh, I ship these two now. But it wasn't like very many, but I was fine with it because, you know, for a while, as I was starting out to draw porn of these two, I noticed that, you know, a website that reposts a lot of porn art, I think it was like, I don't know, it was like started with the P or something, file or something. I don't know what the website is personally. But they did have like a section that was full of Pinocchio loose, and it was kind of mixed in my opinion. Not nearly as cute as I would like it, but after a while of drawing it myself, because I figured, well, if I can't find good content, I might as well make it myself, you know. I saw more people started posting it on their website, and there was a lot more Pinocchio art resurfacing in the porn section. I was like, oh, I'm actually doing it. I'm actually getting people's attention with my work. Something so obscure that I didn't think would reach out to people, but there was definitely some people who were fans of it. And it made me happy.
That's awesome.
Like, I drew this art for myself. I don't expect to get, like, a lot of attention for it. But there was definitely some people who, you know, found out about it and were like, huh, this is actually pretty cool. Let me see more of it. Or let me draw a little gift art for you of Pinocchio. Or let me find this Pinocchio thing and tag you in it. And I'm like, huh. And I guess it actually reached some people, and that made me happy.
Well, I think that is the most important thing as an artist or a creator, is make sure that you make something that you yourself personally enjoy. Because I feel like sometimes what happens is you try to cater to what other people like, or, you know, you try to follow along with like a trend or something like that. And then you sometimes get into a position where you get commissioned, or you get kind of like pressured into doing art that you may not necessarily like. So it's great that you are creating that pairing and enjoying it. And pretty much for you, if other people enjoy it, great, that's awesome. But you know, if nobody ever, or not that many people, like really talked about it or whatever, you're still okay with it because you enjoy it personally.
It's definitely a good feeling to have, and I have been drawing it for like maybe 5 years now.
Oh yeah, so you've pretty much been doing it since like you said 2018, when you first kind of rediscovered Pinocchio and really liked the show debate in it, and also, you know, Pinocchio is like an incredible movie in terms of just an animation marvel too.
Yeah, I agree, but it at the same time it's kind of disappointing because Pinocchio is also kind of a niche movie. Like, you can contact any Disney fan today, they will probably tell you their favorite movies, like Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast. but not many of them would go to Pinocchio, which kind of makes me feel bad. But at the same time, upon being a Disney fan, I realized how little Disney actually pays attention to Pinocchio, while also not really having that same spark like they did when they created that movie. I would get into the live action Pinocchio just a bit, because there's a lot to say about that movie as well.
There's multiple live action Pinocchios that have come out in the past several years. And so, I think, and this is where this kind of goes back to why I think maybe not as many people realize that pairing that you created was possible, because I think a lot of people who are even older, who grew up during the Disney, the second renaissance, as they say, in the 90s, or the golden renaissance, or whatever they called it, they only really know Disney from that time period, but they don't necessarily go into the back catalog and watch some of their... I mean, Pinocchio was their second movie that Disney ever made. So most people are not even going to even know what the original Pinocchio was like, or they had never seen it or only saw brief little clips of it. So they're not going to necessarily know that pairing. So it's kind of cool in a way when you create that pairing, not only do you get people thinking about the pairing, but you also get them thinking about the Pinocchio movie and possibly watching it.
Yes. Also, the sad part is Lampwick, the other character I like in Pinocchio, the redheaded bad boy, he is incredibly niche. You would not find any merch of him at all. He definitely is like the anti-Disney. He is like not appropriate for the brand, but it makes me sad because I really have grown to like that character as well, because I really like the bad boy trope. And again, it makes me sad that there's not a lot of fan art either, so I have to do it myself, along with, you know, shipping it with Pinocchio. But it does make me happy that a few very minuscule people actually do remember him.
I mean, See, like, I have watched pretty much every Disney film, with the exception of, like, direct-to-video Disney movies. I've pretty much seen almost all of them, and I remember them very fondly. And Pinocchio, I can remember so many different aspects of it. And, like, I remember that character. Like, that character was very, very memorable. But like you said, his character is that you don't see any merchandise of him because, you know, if Disney sold merchandise of him, like smoking a cigar or whatever, or holding a brick ready to smash a cathedral window, that would not be good for their brand. But I'm sure there would be a segment of people that actually would probably buy that if that did exist.
Yeah, their demographic being me.
Yes, you buy up their whole stock. Yeah. Their limited edition.
Yeah, but it's also kind of ironic because I know in Disney Japan, they cater to Pinocchio a lot more than the West does.
Oh, really?
And yeah. You'd be surprised how much merchandise they carry. But the fact that they also have, like, you know, the fox and the cat, and those two smoke cigars, like, a lot throughout the movie. But there's plenty of merch of them. But I think they get away with it more because they're seen as cute animals, but they don't include, like, the cigars or anything.
Right. But that's interesting that they actually are more, they have more Pinocchio merch over in Japan. That's really that kind of blows my mind, because I mean, one of Disney's most iconic songs, When You Wish Upon a Star, came from Pinocchio.
Exactly. But it's kind of so separated from Pinocchio nowadays. It's just now the Disney anthem. Some people don't remember that it's actually originated from Pinocchio.
Which I still like only that original version from Jiminy Cricket. I only like that version.
Exactly. Me too. But most of the Pinocchio merch that I've collected, because I have a tiny shrine, a lot of merchandise I collected, most of them are from Japan. Like, I ordered them from online. You would barely find any good stuff here in the West, like, unless you really look for, like, their limited edition stuff.
I know I have, like, a Pinocchio Christmas ornament. I know I have one of Pinocchio when Hallmark, like, had did kind of their Disney collection, which they still do, but like back in the 90s, they like had very limited runs of different ornaments from the different Disney things. And I have a ton of them, but like you said, Lampwick is not one of them. Or if they probably did do Lampwick, it'd probably be him as a donkey or whatever.
Yeah, a few times they actually did include Lampwick, but like one that I can think of was this recent pin. I believe it was from last year, a few months ago, because they're doing like this sidekicks pin where all the Disney sidekicks from several movies are in like in one collage. And they did include Lampwick, and he is in like his normal form. He's not like a donkey or anything. And I'm like, oh, I like Beryl and the mouse. Like, I need this pin. I have like there are just a few very minuscule Lampwick pins that are out there. And I was lucky enough to at least find some online or like, you know, at conventions, because some booths, they do sell some Disney pins, and I was lucky enough to find some. And just let me tell you, there's not a lot that exist.
Now, do you think that Pinocchio is more popular in Japan in terms of merchandise, at least because of the Shota element?
I want to believe so. You should see how cute the plushies are. They put a lot of soul into it. There's someone out there who's like really, really invested in it. Another thing, on Twitter, I used to follow a lot of Disney parks enthusiasts, mostly photographers. And there were a few accounts who, even though they're in Japanese, it's like full of mascot photos of Pinocchio and his, you know, friends, is including Honest John and Gideon. And it's only them in many different poses, different shots, different times of day. It's just all of them. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel seen. Someone else is also a fan just like me.
So those accounts are like, they focus just on Pinocchio?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh yeah, that dedication is there. I've seen people with Eda bags. There is no joke there.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, I just realized something. I just only realized that there's an Honest John in Pinocchio and an Honest John in An American Tale.
Yeah, but like complete polar opposites.
Complete polar opposites.
Yes, it's just
funny.
But I think do you know the character Warren T. Rat?
Oh yeah, I literally quote him in my head a lot because of some of the funny stuff that he says.
Yes, he is definitely very Honest John coded. But the funny thing is, with his outfit, he looks exactly like the coachman in Pinocchio.
Oh yeah, that's right. He does. Yeah, you can see where Don Bluth definitely like copied over a lot of designs from Disney when he kind of said "fuck this" and went off on his own.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely that. And the cockroach is like very much like Jiminy Cricket.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. And now, speaking of An American Tale, you're currently kind of like into that because you had gotten into rewatching it, and I can totally see why you would like Fievel in that, because it's the same kind of thing. Even though he's a mouse, Anthro, but like he's still like very cute, but very gullible, and kind of can be manipulated and tricked and stuff like that, just like Pinocchio, right?
Oh yeah, you read me like a book. That is exactly why.
and again, it's like that cuteness factor plays in big time on Fievel, and like all the different characters that he meets, like Warren T. Rat, for example, he's totally tricked and manipulated by him. You know, he gets basically thrown into child labor, and then he meets Tony. Yes, I remembered his name. And I still quote that line where he says, so what's your name? And he goes, Fievel Mouse. Goes, Fievel, oh, that name's gotta go.
Yeah, I kind of see a little bit of Lampwick in Tony, but like less more
a little more heart of gold with Tony, definitely.
Yeah. Like
much more good-hearted.
Yeah, kind of like the polar opposite, but some of the energy is still there.
Yes, exactly. And so I can totally see why, like, that pairing is a lot of fun too. You can kind of see some parallels with Pinocchio and American Tail, also just with the journey too, when you think about it.
Yes,
very similar parallels.
Yes, because he's also looking for his father because both of them got separated.
Yep, and he's having to go through like different like areas of New York. He's like having to go like the seedy underground, and then he's just exploring on the streets, and then he's on the train tracks, and he goes to all these different places. And then like you have kind of like the penultimate end of the movie with the giant mouse of Minx, who's kind of like Monstro the whale in Pinocchio.
You get me. It's definitely a lot of parallels in it, and I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed these.
Oh yeah, this is what happens when you talk to a fellow Disney nerd and Don Bluth fan. You see all this stuff and appreciate a lot of it.
Yes, if I'm ever like lucky enough to meet Don Bluth, I want to at least ask them, like, was there any Pinocchio influences that went into making the American Tale? It's like there has to
I'm
be.
I'm sure
right?
there was. I'm sure there big time was. And you know, Milt Kahl, I mean, one of the original Nine Old Men. I mean, he's like a super legend with his design. So I'm sure for an animator like Don Bluth, who probably would have been younger at the time, was probably heavily inspired by his designs and his way on how he created stuff.
Yeah. Another Don Bluth movie that I believe shares similar Disney parallels is Land Before Time with Bambi.
Oh, yes, you're right. I never thought about that, but you're right. Love Land Before Time, by the way. And I love Bambi. Love those movies.
Yes, I love being traumatized by his movies. It's great.
Well, that you know, originally in Bambi, they were actually supposed to show like the hunter dead. Like they were going to show like his arm like sticking out from underneath a tree that was burnt. And like, and Bambi was like, see how much of a piece of shit man is, and then they just headed off into the sunset. That is so funny you mentioned that with Land Before Time, though. That is so true. Very similar.
Yes. Yeah, I also feel like, you know, the character Ducky and Thumper, they're kind of like having similar ways of talking in a way.
Oh yeah, they're both kind of yes. Yes, you're right. You're right. It's so funny. I think that's why those Don Bluth movies that were really good, I think they took a lot of inspiration or drew parallels from the classic Disney movies. And that's why a lot of people really liked them. And he had a good like foundation to follow.
Yeah, you know what? Good for him. I'm glad he was able to use what he learned and actually make something good out of it.
I always like Titan AE. Too bad there is a Shota in the very beginning of the movie with Kale's character, but that was one of my favorite Don Bluth movies too. It was Titan AE.
An underrated classic.
Yeah. Now, in terms of something that I had wondered about, because I asked Dr. X about this, was because I haven't seen a ton of your art, but I've seen some of it and I really like it. I especially really liked the Fievel art that you've done, because it's like it's so like really evokes that Disney feel from it with the colors and stuff, and I really like it. And with Pinocchio, you draw Pinocchio in human form mostly, is that correct?
Oh, I actually draw him in puppet form.
Oh, you do draw him in puppet form. Okay, that's what I thought. So that's interesting, because like I think that's probably another rare thing that people who probably do draw Pinocchio like fan art, even if it's not safe for work, especially not safe for work stuff like with the fairy, have they drawn him that you've seen anyway? Do they usually draw him still as a puppet, or they draw him in like as human, like as a little boy, human?
I've seen a bit of half and half, but most of the ones that I've seen him as a puppet, it's like the low hanging fruit joke, like, oh, his nose can be a dildo. Ain't that funny? Ha ha ha. But I just feel like that's a bit too cliche. I can like get more creativity out of him without having to, you know, go to the path of the low-hanging fruit joke, you know?
Yeah, like I could totally picture something funny with like the blue fairy, and maybe you had done this, but it'd be kind of a funny idea of like the blue fairy, essentially she grants Pinocchio the ability to have like a literal boner, and that like he has like a puppet penis, that would be kind of funny. I would like that. And then she has to test it out.
Yeah, I actually have seen art where I think someone did like a one-shot doujin, which is kind of like that idea, but she made him like a real boy, and he was able to, you know, get a huge dick and all that stuff, but he was still, you know, tiny and everything.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the huge penis aspect, but you know, if people like the big peepee on Shota's, then, you know, that's more power to them.
Yeah.
That's interesting that somebody did a one-off doujin of it, though. It kind of makes me wonder if the merch in Japan is more prevalent with Pinocchio, I wonder if there's more fan art of Pinocchio in Japan. I wonder. That's a good question.
I haven't come across any Not Safe for Work from the Japanese site. Mostly just a lot of Safe for Work stuff, but, you know, there's only so much I can find on Pixiv, unfortunately.
Yeah, especially with the way that it tags and stuff. It interesting, though, because I'm sure like that they would probably be pretty creative with some of the stuff. But see, again, it's where you're able to kind of fill a void where there was nothing really there. Like with Lampwick, there was nothing there. There was hardly anything there. And now you've got the pairing of Pinocchio and him, and it's, you know, like you filled that niche.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what like Dr. X and I did with in Sexual Awakening, was we kind of wanted to fill this missing gap in visual novel games, especially in the West, and especially in the West. There hardly was any straight Shota loli visual novel adult games, and there's still barely any for obvious reasons, and we wanted to fill that gap, and sure enough, we got like a very like dedicated following, just kind of like how you found a dedicated following on Twitter, but then you also have like a dedicated following on your Brag, and it's like I think that forms a stronger community than if you were just kind of going for something generic that everybody, all the normies knew about and stuff.
Yeah, like Genshin Impact. Yeah, because I remember in my earliest Twitter account where I first started making Not Safe for Work art, especially when it was like very Pino focused, I was lucky enough to earn 4K followers until I got suspended. But that does show that there is an audience that is willing to, you know, accept Pinocchio as like a good Shota bait, per se.
That's exactly it. It's like, you know, if like imagine if you were able to keep your account, I'm sure you would have built even more and more, because it really snowballs big time on Twitter when you start gaining an audience, especially for a specific niche or something that you're known for. You can really build up following fast.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does get harder the more times you lose your accounts.
Yeah, but that's where great websites like Brag and Athey come along, where you don't have to worry about that crap. So,
I mean, I would have liked it if my account were still up during the year of Pinocchio, which was back in 2022.
Oh, yes, that's right, because that's what... It's really was strange that they came out with a live-action Pinocchio... didn't they come out with like within a year of each other or something? They were really close in their release. It was weird.
There was actually, I believe, two live action Pinocchios, but one was from Italy, which I recommend highly. That one was really good. And there was that, what's a word I can address this with? This like dumpster fire of a film from Disney, no less.
But wasn't there a Guillermo del Toro one, though?
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro. That one is actually by Lifesaver. That, and also there was that Twink Pinocchio that came very early in the year.
and recently there was the Lies of P thing, right?
Yes, Lies of P, the Lies of Twink Pinocchio.
Lies of Penis. Sorry, I had to make the joke.
which I'm kind of glad that since Pinocchio, the original story, is public domain, you can see very different flavors of the same puppet. Like for me right now, I am creating like my own OCs of Pinocchio, trying to put like my own spin on it without having to be stuck with just only the Disney version. Because as much as I do love the Disney version, I do want to see where I can go if I were to create my own universe of the story.
Now, is that like a different version of Pinocchio, or like,
yeah, yeah, it's like more closer towards the novels, a version of the story, but I put like my own spin on how I create the characters and how they look. Like I basically created my own version of Pinowick.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so that's kind of like, so you kind of mixed their two designs together, is what you're saying?
Mostly, I create my own design from the ground up.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but I'm saying like the inspiration though, like of it came from like combining their designs, is what you're saying? Or are you saying that you like want to make the pairing of your own OCs? Of those two characters.
Yeah, the pairing of my own OCs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I created my instead of like Lampwick, because in Lampwick goes by different names, but sometimes in a novel, he goes by either Candlewick or like the Italian name Lucignolo. So instead of to like, you know, make it less confusing, I just make it Candlewick. And to match his name, I made his personality like an arsonist, but his quote-unquote lover, who is also Pinocchio, is made of wood. So it does open up more ways I can play around with that dynamic. Like, you have this puppet and this crazy, like, you know, pyromaniac. And like,
I can picture you making a pose of him, Candlewick, like kind of hunched over with like a little bit like of a menacing look, and he's holding like a wax candle while he's like putting his hand over it. I can totally picture that.
yeah. So the flavor and the dynamic is still there, but it's just like Candlewick, but reskinned or like remixed in a way.
Nice. Have you like? How far along are you with their designs, would you say?
Oh, I'm pretty much happy with how they look so far.
So you've completed them.
Yeah, I mean, I can share it on the DMs if you like.
Yeah, because we'll show it on the episode so that we can get like a cool, so people can see what you've designed. Because, you know, Dr. X and I, like, we've had to create a lot of OCs with our games. And you know, me working with Highware, we've also had to create OC. So like we both now have like a really great appreciation of OCs and just the process and the amount of work it goes into it. You know, so I think it's cool that you create OCs and you work on them and you create this really fun dynamic with them. I love it when OCs are given like a cool like a personality that's fun and like a backstory that's fun, and they're able to play off each other. All that stuff is great.
Yeah, because I haven't been invested in creating OCs for like literal years and years ago. I did have like an empty part of my life where I wasn't really into fandom, so I wasn't really creating OCs. And then, of course, years later came Pinocchio. But after a while, like 5 years of drawing the same two characters, I kind of thought like maybe I should, you know, branch out a bit and see where I can go. If I took what I learned and put it into new characters, maybe I can, you know, have a bit more freedom to do what I want with these two said characters and possibly create more based on the Pinocchio canon.
Yeah, see, that's cool. So are like you gonna eventually make like an Honest John or something?
Yeah, I am in the process, and I have already decided who my blue fairy is, and she's gonna be Lolly.
Yes. Of course. I should have known that you're and is she still gonna be blue, or are you gonna change the color?
No, she is definitely blue. Like in the novel, she is just known as the lady with the blue hair.
Okay.
And the story, she does start out as a Lolly, but like eventually when the two get separated, and so to speak, that she does get reborn, because she does die, but gets reborn into like a MILF. So I'm like, huh, that's a pretty good dynamic. But I'm kind of unsure, because part of me kind of wants to keep her small.
I mean, I would keep her small. I would do something maybe amusing where, like, if she, like, is reborn, she just gets reborn into an even cuter version or something. like that.
Yeah. She is very different than how she is in the novel. In the novel versus, like, you know, the Disney movie that we know today.
Oh, really? See, because I'm not familiar with the novel that much, so I don't know, like, the original story, so I'm not... So what was she originally like then?
She was kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of complicated to say, because she's kind of very an unusual character, because she starts out like she isn't the one who brings Pinocchio to life, so to speak. Pinocchio was kind of already alive. He was like a sentient block of wood, but she takes him in, but only after Pinocchio gets hanged on the tree by the fox and the cat, and she's like, well, I'm gonna take care of you, and she's gonna be like his big sister, so to speak.
Well, that's fun. I like that dynamic, though. If you make her a Lolly, she can be like the slightly big sister to Pinocchio. That'd be fun.
Oh yeah, I intend to keep Pinocchio as short as possible, so everyone else around him is like towers over him.
But very nice.
Keep
Pinocchio a Shota.
Yeah, I'm still fleshing them out, but so far the characters I'm like invested in, that I'm happy that how they turned out was Pinocchio and Candlewick so far.
Now, what are there any other OC characters from the Pinocchio lore that you're thinking about making?
Yes, there is a snail maid which accompanies the blue fairy, because she lives like deep into the forest, so she has like a lot of woodland critters, kind of like how a Disney princess would be. But I want the snail maid to be kind of like a femboy, but also a very perverted maid.
Nice.
So what is he perverted about? Is he like a BL femboy or
yeah, kind of like a BL femboy, but like someone who's really interested in Pinocchio because of how small and cute he is. I mean, the blue fairy, I'm wanting her to be more, you know, down to earth, I guess. Someone more, a little bit more regal, like, but not as crazed as he is. Because it's kind of like the dynamic that one is more, what's the word? Someone who's a bit more reserved, that's the word. And mm-hmm. someone who's a bit more dick hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I only have very few sketches, so nothing worth showing as of yet.
So in this OC universe, you'll have Candlewick, both Candlewick and that femboy maid lusting over Pinocchio.
Yes.
it's Pinocchio's harem.
Yeah, I mean the blue fairy does like him, but kind of like in the way that, have you seen Chainsaw Man?
Yeah. Yes. Both of us have.
Yes. Yep. Okay, begrudgingly.
I do kind of got some inspiration from Makima. Makima and Denji. Kind of like she sees him like as a puppy, and it's like, oh, I'm going to take care of you, but I want you to stay with me, and I don't want you to ever leave me. Except Pinocchio is like very free spirited, so he runs away and then leaves her alone, and then she's like, mm-hmm. guilt trips him a lot, and toys with him and like gives him a leash, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm still fleshing it out, but that is like how I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like those dynamics. I think those are fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You're basically incorporating all those ideas like together into your, like the things that you like, basically, like those different forms of manipulation and gullibility of Pinocchio.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just taking what I learned and trying to implement it into my OCs, because finally I actually have the drive to create my own little universe and play God, so to speak.
It's awesome.
Are you going to create like comics, or are they just going to be kind of like one-off images and things like that?
I really, really do want to make comics. I am not very experienced at making comics, but I will try my damnedest. I want to at least have a Pinocchio doujin to exist in the world. whether it's Disney orientated or OC orientated, it needs to exist one way or another, especially for Pinowick. Because there's literally none of them out there, and I need to fulfill that somehow. There was one point in my life, I believe it was a little before the pandemic started. I was in the middle of like practicing making my own comic of Pinowick. It wasn't necessarily not safe for work because I was, you know, practicing posting it on Webtoons, but it sadly it's been incomplete because I had to get a day job and I just had very little motivation to work on it. So I'm hoping in the future when I have like enough characters, like, you know, fleshed out and everything, that I can actually start maybe like a one-off comic or just a reoccurring thing.
I think having a complete OC cast helps significantly with that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like I've talked about this with Dr. X before and other people too, that I when you make a story, the story should be created by the characters, not having just the characters be in the story. And that's the reason why having good characters and designs is so important, because once you have their personalities and once you have their dynamics, the story can kind of very easily write itself.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, because otherwise if you focus just on the story and the characters are just kind of treated like vehicles to move the story forward, I feel like you very easily run into the trap of making unlikable characters or characters that don't act in a very believable way, or characters that turn people off, or characters that aren't very deep.
Yeah, I getcha.
Now, obviously you would say that Pinocchio is a very important part of Shota history. What other works would you like to mention that you think are very important?
I would say possibly, you mean like Disney-wise or just in general?
In general.
Okay. I would say maybe, I want to say maybe Alice is also very important. I feel like she may have kickstarted the lolly craze in a way that every time I see something related to Alice in Wonderland, even if it's not Disney, they always borrow the Disney design. And It's also very popular amongst Japanese artists from what I've seen, because there's like a lot of Alice-oriented fan art that I've seen. Even the ones that are lewd, they always seem to gravitate towards borrowing the Disney design.
Well, the Disney's design is great. So it was another one of those examples where they took a lot of careful time to make sure her design was very, very good.
Yeah, and it's so simple, but very effective. I think it also did kickstart, because the way her dress looks, it gave me a vibe like, oh, I really like maid dresses now because of the way she looks. Even though it's not like black and white, but still the way it's like designed, it's like very, very, very good.
Yeah, you know, I never even thought about that, that it's meant to be a maid dress, but it's like it's designed so well. You don't know. I didn't really even make that connection with it. Like, I was just like, oh, it's just a cool, it's just this really interesting, like, floofy blue dress with like a white apron.
Yeah, I think the dress with the apron really does, when you put those things together, it just speaks maid dress, but it's not like in the traditional black and white. It's like more colorful.
Yes.
So I guess maybe in that time period, it could be just like, you know, an afternoon dress that you could just wear out.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yes. Yep.
Now that's so that was for Lolly. Other than Pinocchio, what would you recommend like a Shotokan interested in history watching?
I just want to recommend them like American Tail. That's a really, really. I'm not a furry per se, but there is a lot of Shota potential in that movie. Maybe also for Disney wise, it would be Peter Pan.
Yes. Yep. What's interesting is like, how old is Peter Pan supposed to be? Like I always forgot like what age he's supposed. I mean, I know he doesn't age. I mean, he has basically the thing that all Shotas wish, which is to be infinite Shota all the time. I feel like he's to me, at least when I look at Peter Pan, I think he's like more like almost Shota adjacent a little bit.
Yeah, to me it feels like he's 12, like on the cusp of being a teenager, but not quite, because he is definitely a Shota, but not like small enough.
Yes, know? Yes, like I would agree with that. Yes, and of course he's total fucking badass with his fighting and stuff, being able to fly and use his dagger all the time. But I can totally see like Peter, and you know what's interesting is like Peter Pan and both American Tail both work great for both the combination of Lolly Shota, Shota, like that, like they combine like every, and same with American Tail. Like you can have Fievel with Tony, or you can have Fievel with, is it Elizabeth? I can't remember who the girl mouse was. What was her name?
Which one was it? The redhead or his sister?
That's right. It could be either one of them. Yes, because I know that I think her sister was Tanya, right, or something.
Yeah. The other mouse who falls in love with Tony is Bridget.
Bridget. So like again, look at that dynamic. You've got like all these amazing combinations that fans of. If people want Yaoi, they got Tony and Fievel. If they want Shota and Lolly, and they also want incest, they can get all those dynamics, which is
exactly.
Great.
Exactly. Or if you want Yaoi but size difference, you get Fievel and Tiger.
Yes. Oh yes. Big size difference between them. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that is yep. True. I do intend in the future to possibly draw a few Tony with Fievel. I have drawn at least once, but I kind of like the three-way idea where it's like Bridget, Tony, and Fievel.
I like that combo too, personally. I thought the art you did of them was really, really cute. I liked that art a lot, and I kind of wanted to see a follow-up, so it sounds like it might happen. Wishful thinking.
Maybe. I'm just very reluctant to share that on Twitter because I already got in trouble several times for Pinocchio. I don't want any Puritan Zoomers to touch American Tail, you know? I'm just going to keep that in Barog.
Yeah. No. I just assume that most of the good stuff that you post is going to be on Barag. So I understand that because, yeah, like, I mean, Twitter... I wouldn't want Twitter to mess up American Tail and like, you know, put a bad taste in your mouth with that. So you definitely want to keep it fun and just have Barag be the place to go.
Yeah, I'm quite happy that Don Bluth movies are not receiving the same treatment as Disney movies now with their live action remakes.
Yes, that is true. That's interesting how they've been left alone, and I hopefully they will continue to be left alone.
Yes, I prefer they just stay niche and just, you know, stay with like the older fans who remember it fondly.
Yes, yes, I agree. Because I don't want them to live action remake them, which would be difficult for them to do anyway, which is kind of a good thing, because if they like actually, I don't even want to think about a live action remake of American Tail, because they probably do something weird where it'd be like, you know, CGI Fievel and Tony and stuff, but then they probably put in some random human that you never even knew. Horrible stuff like that would happen.
They did that with Dumbo, and it like just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I can totally picture them doing that. I can totally picture them being like, oh, nobody wants to watch a movie that's just all mice all the time. We got to have a human element to it. I swear that's how they think with some of these remakes.
Yeah. Yeah. With that Pinocchio remake I saw from Disney, it was not good, man. There were so many changes that just left a bitter taste in my mouth. And it's like so kiddified too, because all of the dark elements are missing.
Wow. I mean, that like kind of defined the original Pinocchio, was like all the dark themes and stuff.
Yeah. You know what was the most insulting part of it though? They removed all the drugs and alcohol, and just like, instead of beer, they're drinking root beer.
Oh, wow, so offensive. I'm assuming they probably were eating a pineapple and ham pizza, too.
Yeah.
And offending some having the audience.
Yeah, in quote-unquote fictional Italy.
Oh, my God. Thank God I have avoided all live-action Disney movies. I will not touch them. No.
Yeah, you're not missing much, man. Just avoid it. It's so bad. I mean, thankfully Lampwick was still in the movie, but he wasn't really the saving grace or anything. He was just there. It didn't give me the same excitement as I was like originally. Like they couldn't even have the gall to like temporarily kill off Pinocchio like they did in the ending. Instead, they did like, oh, it's Geppetto who dies, but Pinocchio has to sing like in a low voice, like, oh, when you wish upon a star. And the only thing that brings him to life is just a single fucking tear. It's like, is this the Pokemon movie?
I think that was the only part of the movie I saw, because I saw it on YouTube. It was because I actually totally forgot that Tom Hanks played Geppetto, which is really weird. but anyway, because the reason why I watched the ending is because I wanted to see how Monstro looked, and I'm like, this Monstro does not instill any intimidation or fear into me like when I was a kid. Like I was like, Monstro was scary, man, as a kid watching that movie in the original anime. He was fucking scary because the way that he was painted and like drawn and stuff, it was crazy looking.
Yeah, the absolute scale of Monstro was like incredibly intimidating. For this remake, they just made him like
a regular whale.
No, not just a regular whale. They made him like an eldritch monster with like tentacles.
Oh yeah, that's right. But it's stupid. Now you're making me remember it. It was so dumb. Ugh.
It was dumb. That and the fact that don't think the ending had any real payoff, because he didn't really turn into a real boy. It was implied, but like when he's walking away the distance, you can see his limbs slowly turning into a boy, but he doesn't face the camera or anything. So there's no real payoff, unlike the original.
Yes. Like the original, well, first of all, it had a way better ending because it was Pinocchio sacrificing himself to save Geppetto. Also the whole build up with Monstro going after him was a lot scarier and more intense than the stupid live action movie. It was just, thank God that was the only part of the movie I saw of the live action.
Yeah, you save yourself some heartache. But thankfully, in that same year, we did have Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio. But unfortunately, I don't really have strong needs to loot him as much, just because design wise it's not bad or anything, but he looks more closer to wooden than actual Shota boy.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he looks. Yeah, he doesn't. It'd be a little harder to like Shota-fy him. Whereas the original OG Pinocchio is like perfect.
Yeah. The one way I remember they described the Disney Pinocchio, that he's like a natural little boy, but with wooden limbs.
Oh, interesting. So he is supposed to look boy-like then. He's not meant to like look like a weird... Like, basically, when I saw Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, it just reminded me of the Shrek Pinocchio. little bit, basically. That's kind of what it reminded me. Although, actually, the Shrek Pinocchio still leaned more towards at least a little bit of a boyish look. But, I can see... That's interesting, though, how it... So the original story does describe Pinocchio as like boyish, but has like wooden limbs is what it said, basically. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That and the Shrek Pinocchio does canonically wear a thong.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you adapt that into your works? I think I assume you do.
I want to imagine. So every time he's fully clothed, just imagine him wearing a thong in there. That one thing may have noticed with how I draw Pinocchio, I do give him a cunny.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I don't usually do a lot of trans headcanons, but I feel like this one is very fitting for Pinocchio because his entire purpose in the story is to become a real boy. That, and I was introduced to Shota Cunny, and that opened some doors like, oh, he can have two holes he can be bred in, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so exactly.
I kind of adopted that idea for him.
Now, were you already aware or appreciative of trans Shota characters before you got into Pinocchio, or was that after?
I had an appreciation before it, but there's like very little that actually canonically exists. But I think the one thing that did open my eyes to it was this one artist that I saw. I believe it was like after my fixation of Pinocchio that they drew their own fan art of Shota with the cunny, and they get like, you know, the dick inside them and everything. And I was like, whoa, that's actually pretty hot. I should try that.
So do you usually draw Pinocchio getting fucked in his pussy?
Yeah, most of the time I do. I am trying to at least balance it with my OC Pinocchio. He would still keep his dick, but realistically speaking, they're puppets, so you can like switch their genitals out at any point in time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's true.
Just like it like unscrews out or like would it be like kind of like a cork where it would like pop out?
Yeah, you can pop out and then you can like
go modular.
Yeah, kind of like how Cyberpunk, where you can just, you know, modify your body. It's the same thing with Pinocchio.
Yeah, so that was the original Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I mean, you can give him a monster cock if you wanted to.
I did see that image you drew of Pinocchio with like a huge strap on.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's another thing I do like drawing age gap stuff. But I guess the obvious age gap ship would just be Pinocchio on his drum, but I still want to be loyal to Pinowick. So I did what any Fujo would do. It just age up Lampwick. He'd be like the dubious adult man. Flirting together with this small little Shota puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, this ship can still work.
Now, I think you mentioned a Seal Phantom Hive from Black Butler. Do you ship him with his butler?
I want to say so, yeah, but I also ship him with Aloise Trancy.
Aloise Trancy, what kind of character is that?
He is the opposite of Seal. He was like in the season 2 of the anime. He's like a very perverted, but also very bratty type, kind of like the opposite of what Seal is, because he's more reserved character. And I do like the dynamic of Shota on Shota action, but like is like more dubious than the other. Mm-hmm. But I guess it would be very, very obvious choice to ship him with his butler, which that is also good too.
Yeah. That's one of the most popular yaoi shota ships I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's very universal.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you're a yaoi fan and you like Peter Pan, do you ship him with any character, like any male character, or like any character in general?
Captain Hook.
That's great because that fills that age gap.
Yeah, as well. It's age gap, but also enemies to lovers, or you know, they could also do a lot of hate fucking.
Yeah, that's right.
I will get Peter Pan.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
Yeah. To me, I want you to obliterate that twink.
Smee! Smee! Yep.
Now, have you drawn any art of that?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh, interesting.
I shall find it on my Barag. But yeah, that's another pairing I would like in Disney. Like, if it weren't for Pinocchio, it would definitely have been Peter Pan.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, if it was a alternate universe, Misery is the biggest shipper of Peter Pan and Captain Hook.
Yeah, because at least Peter Pan in the West, he still gets plenty of attention.
What would be the pairing name for Peter Pan and Captain Hook? What would it be called?
I don't know. Captain Pan, Hook Pan, Pan Hook.
What about Peter Hook?
Yeah, Peter Hook.
I kind of like Peter Hook.
Yeah, because you're hooked on it.
Yes, that's right. You could also do PP Hook.
I was debating whether to say that.
PP Hook.
Oh, another Disney movie I haven't brought up. It's Luca. That is also a really, like, that's like one of their more modern films, which is kind of a mixed bag. But since that movie came out, there was definitely a resurgence of Shota fans who were fans of Disney, and there was a lot of really good designs in Luca, especially with the two boys, because they're like very scrawny, and it's just like, oh, I just want to grab them and break them.
And I remember when Luca first came out, I kind of got that confused with Coco, I think, a little bit. I got it mixed up. But what is Luca about? Because that's one of the Disney movies I have not seen.
Yeah, that movie is also takes place in Italy. It's like a sea monster boy who wants to go to the surface, kind of like how Ariel wants to go on the surface and be with the humans. But his motivation is that he wants a Vespa after meeting this other boy who is a little bit kind of like Lamp, but he's like the more daring type. And they both want some freedom. And to do that, they want a Vespa. So they, you know, actually go to the island of Porco Rosso and compete for like, you know, I forgot, it was like a competition that they had to do. But there was also like an actual antagonist, and there is also a Lolly who's very, very Italian. And it did make me wonder, like, huh, Disney really shines when they make Italian shotas.
I also love how the whole plot of the movie is that they want to get a Vespa.
Yeah, exactly. They just want to get a Vespa. It's very simple, but I appreciate the slice of life movie, but also, most importantly, all the Shota art that came out of it and all the Shota designs. It's like, oh, we're so fucking back. Finally being fed some Shotas.
Nice. Well, see, that they did the smart thing. They went with a simple story and good Shota designs. That's all they need.
Exactly. And I was actually fed for once. And there was a small cameo of Pinocchio, but like the original Pinocchio and not the Disney version. Because funny enough, originally in Italy, they didn't like the Disney Pinocchio because it felt too American to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. So they took the more traditional design, like the original design of Pinocchio, and then made him a cameo.
Yeah, exactly that.
So funny.
Now, how does that design differ from the Disney Pinocchio?
I will show you. His design is actually very simplistic. It usually is like red, white, and green, kind of like the Italy flag. But yeah, it was very funny to also see like the cat and fox, like in their own interpretation. But yeah, this is a movie I definitely appreciate a lot in Pixar, because there's been a while since a Pixar movie hasn't really caught my attention, but Luca was definitely one of them.
Now, let's say you were in an alternate universe or directing a Disney movie, right? What would be your dream Disney movie and like assume no limits with like the Shota stuff?
I would like to get my own Pino OCs and actually put that in a movie, because I remember movies like The Great Mouse Detective. They had like a small lonely mouse, but there was a lot of panty shots. That was something even in The Rescuers they had with their girl Lolly, where there's a lot of panty shots. I want a lot of panty shots in my movie. Like, I probably can't go full, you know, Shotokan energy, but I want the Shota energy to be there.
Well, assuming there's no limits, though, you totally could go full on.
If there is no limits, then yeah, I can go as far as I want. So probably like use my OCs, whether it's like them as, you know, the Pinocchio characters. I could just remix them, but in a way, but I would still want them in and have like situations where Pinocchio gets stuck somewhere and then it's like, oh no, I'm trapped, and then I'm vulnerable, and then he gets looted.
Speaking of the rescuers down under had a Shota character. What did you think about that character?
It was all right. I don't remember seeing, well, I think I have seen it, but it's definitely been a while. But I remember seeing some clips of him, and he was really, really good. It was very cute, but probably not enough to really capture my attention, so to speak. Maybe.
Well, he didn't have the kind of personality that I think you would find appealing, because he was a lot more like independent and a lot smarter to like not really be tricked most of the time. But I always liked that character, mainly because I think because he helps animals and stuff. So I liked his character because of that. I liked the Rescuers down under more than the original Rescuers, but I still like the Rescuers. I think it is a good movie still.
Yeah, yeah. The Rescuers definitely had like a good Loli and Shota.
yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. Which, also funny enough, Don Bluth did work on The Rescuers as well.
Oh, he did. Oh, interesting. What's interesting is how The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under had a very long like gap between their sequels. Like, isn't that kind of interesting how they like took a long time to come out with a sequel to the Rescuers? Yeah. And yet it worked. It surprisingly worked. And I liked it, so.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad because I know that movie came out the time of the Renaissance, but it's not really considered as part of the Renaissance for some reason.
I think it should. It was a really good movie. Yeah. It's probably because there was no singing in it and stuff, and because there was no singing at all in that movie. So like it was, and it came out in 1990, which was a year after The Little Mermaid. And it like, yeah, you're right. It was kind of like, it was right around the time when the Renaissance would have started. But for some reason, it's very underappreciated. And I saw it in theaters. I remember it was awesome. So,
yeah, I personally think the Renaissance should have started with Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, what a great movie that is.
That is a phenomenal animated movie.
I know. I love it. And it was such a technical marvel, like still today looks amazing. Like they blended the live action and the drawn characters so incredibly well. They did so many clever things to make it believable. So cool. And all the Disney animators that were work a lot, pretty much the majority of the Disney animators were working on it, basically.
Yeah, I just feel it's compared to, like, they attempted something similar with the Chip and Dale movie, and it's a huge departure of like quality wise. it just looks so bad in comparison, because it's like Disney years and years ago, before technology was even considered advanced at all, they made like an absolute masterpiece. And now we're in the generation where anything, it could be possible, but they chose the cheapest route and just make a shit tier movie out of it.
That was a weird movie too. I mean, I didn't watch it, but that was a weird movie, because it was like Chip and Dale like making fun of stuff. It was weird. A lot of weird stuff in that movie from what I saw.
Yeah, the movie felt more like a parody not made by Disney.
Yes, that's what it felt like. Like, I honestly didn't expect it to be something Disney would make.
That, then they did like a twink death by aging up Peter Pan in the worst way possible.
Oh yeah, that was disgusting. It was really, that was disturbing. I was like, ew, why'd they do that? It's gross.
Yeah, that was enough to just leave that movie out of my memory. I don't want that movie to exist or be remembered.
And I would imagine that the fans of that original show probably were pretty irritated at what they got from Disney.
Yeah, and the fact that Gadget canonically, I don't want to use the word canonically because I don't consider that movie canon in any shape or form, but she did fuck the bug.
Yes, I know. That kind of was what pushed it over the edge for me, that like, okay, this has got to be just a parody movie that's meant to make fun of, I guess, their properties, Disney's properties. I think that's what it was. I feel like it was Disney trying to like poke fun at itself, but it failed miserably at it.
Yeah, it was definitely not like, you know, how Shrek handled it.
It was more like, the better way I can yes, you're right. Like, Shrek did it brilliantly. It was really funny. But like, what Disney did is, it's more like, instead of poking fun at themselves, it was more like, haha, remember you really liked this stupid show with Chip and Dale back in the day? Remember how dumb that was? Yeah, we're going to tell you how stupid it is. that's basically what they did.
Yeah, and they like tell it to your face for like a straight 2 hours, and you just have to sit there and listen.
And I remember like how Peter Pan was like, you know, a really cute, like adorable, like twink kite character. Well, we're going to make him an ugly bastard, because wouldn't that be funny? You know, that's basically what they did.
Wait, they did that?
Yeah, they basically turned him into ugly bastard, basically.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that is the ultimate twink death. And I am not a fan of that.
Yeah, that's the worst way to obliterate a twink.
It is. And it makes no sense at all. Well, I guess I don't want to take this discussion dark, but it does kind of reflect what happened to the Peter Pan's voice actor in a way. But I'm not going to deviate the conversation to that place, because that will just bum everyone out.
So the term twink death, is that referring to taking like a twink character and like fast forwarding in the future, like aging him up where he's like no longer a twink?
Yeah, he's no longer twink, and he just doesn't age well at all.
Oh, but like, is twink death is it a trope? It sounds like it is.
I think it is, or it's kind of like a meme in a way.
The meme I think about is that funny one with the, it's not a twink thing, but it's like a femboy one where it showed like this like young appealing femboy, and then it like shows like one of these cute like goats from the Middle East, like when they're like a baby, or like when they're young, they're really cute, and then it shows them, then it shows the femboy when he's older, and it shows the goat like looks just like an ugly bastard goat, like super ugly. It was so funny because it showed the femboy like had like a gross like 5 o'clock shadow beard and like really it was really
and
funny.
And a receding hair line.
Yes, that's usually a killer for yes. that's the first giveaway sign of the twink death, is with the receding hairline.
I think there's like there's so much overlap with femboys and twinks. I think I would say almost always femboys are twinks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're probably right. There probably is a lot of overlap.
Yes, I think it's like almost a requirement, because with femboys you want very little muscle and slender and like no body hair and slender, or you can do kind of like chubby, but like in a soft kind of way.
For me, for femboys, I usually, whenever I draw like boy character, I like to give them like sort of longish hair. Not like too long, but I like the shoulder length hair. Which I had like some of my OCs get mistaken for girls, even though they're boys.
Oh yeah, well that is a big point of the femboys a lot of the time.
Yeah, but also speaking of which, there is a Disney gacha game from Japan, which going back to Black Butler, the creator Yana Toboso, she actually got contacted by Disney to create a gacha game with Twinks using her art.
Oh my god. I can't believe Disney would actually. That's pretty funny.
It's incredibly popular. And there are a few characters who, I guess, kind of all of them are kind of twink or like thunks, where it's like hunk but kind of twinkish. But there are some characters who do look like they could fall in under the femboy umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is also like a Fujo heaven. It's not so much a dating sim game, but it's like has enough chemistry between characters that is enough fuel to ship them. But also a lot of the characters are like based off on Disney villains.
Oh, and yeah. And that can be appealing to a whole nother segment of people who like it.
Oh, yeah. Like my favorite one is like Riddle Rosehearts, and he's supposed to be represented the Queen of Hearts, but he looks very twinkish. kind of looks like a red seal in a way. I will share a photo.
Oh yeah, wow. Oh my god. Wow. Yes, that
exactly.
That's like perfect. Dang. There's got to be somebody in Disney then who is a massive femboy/twink fan, and they were just like, this is my chance. and that's what they did.
Someone out there is a big Fujo fan, and they contacted one of the most well-renowned Fujo artists out there who created Black Butler, and was like, I got a job for you.
Yes. I mean, put that person at the head of the studio directing, and then we'll get lots of good movies in the future.
Yes, I am waiting because there is like word, not a lot of news around it, but there is word there is going to be an anime about it. So I'm looking forward.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Yes. That'll be fun.
That will get me to resubscribe to my Disney Plus, because that is where it's going to be streaming at eventually.
I mean, wouldn't it be something if like that anime comes out and that ends up being like one of Disney's most like popular shows in like recent years? I wonder what Disney's going to have to do. They're going to be like, oh shit, quick, we've got to get more of those animes in our catalog.
I mean, there is like a really big growing fan base of it. So if it does, I'd be ready for it. This is going to be like their next Kingdom Hearts, where it's like Disney and Twinks together.
That's true. They have done Kingdom Hearts, so I think they see the potential in it, possibly. So that'll be interesting.
Yes. I am waiting for it, so I hope it's good. There is definitely a lot of favorable characters who do run in, have like a lot of good porn of them as well. Mm-hmm. This character I'm showing you now, Lilia Van Rouge, looks like a Shota. He is very short. He looks like a femboy, but...
Big time, yeah.
Yes, but the twist is he is like a 1,000-year-old dad.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yes. He is a dilf, but and a Shota.
Yeah.
We swear, Disney, don't worry about it. He's 1,000 years old.
He's 1,000 years old. It's okay, Disney. This just gives me a lot of validation to be a Disney fan and a Fujo. It's like, what if we put both of them in? I mean, I think there is also potential for them to do the Disney princesses, because this game, even though they focus mostly on gender-bent, like male characters, there is one of Snow White. So if they were to ever finish, you know, the run of this game, they could do like a sequel or spinoff where it's like on Disney princesses, but make them into Shota boys. And it's like, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Sounds good to me.
Yes, you win both sides.
Yeah, these are some really good designs.
It would be so fun on the podcast to do an episode talking about all these related terms and topics like fanboys and Yaoi and Bara and all that kind of stuff. Because I would say I know a pretty decent amount about fanboys because I'm into that. And there's even a fanboy character in Sexual Awakening 2 that you can romance.
Nice.
So there's Yaoi in the second game because it wasn't in the first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do really like that trope too.
Yeah. And what was the name of this Disney game that you were talking about?
It's called Twisted Wonderland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I've heard some of my more normie friends talking about that.
Yeah, so basically the protagonist, which is, you know, the player, he gets isekai'd into a Disney world, but it's like a college full of college kids. Some are underage, but they all represent different Disney villains, and a lot of the dorms are represented of different Disney movies. Like you have Octavanil. Some of them are a little hard to pronounce, but that represents Ursula. You have Heartslabule, that represents the Queen of Hearts. You have Pomifiore, that's the evil queen. You have Inkenhide, that represents Hades. You have Scarabia, that's Jafar. Savannah Claw, that is Lion King. And then finally have the Asamina, and that represents Maleficent.
It looks like they've made a manga of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm currently reading the manga right now.
So usually if a manga comes out, usually that's a... Oh, it does say an anime update. Yeah, you did say it was announced, so it's going to be pretty interesting when it comes out on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I am just kind of eagerly awaited because there hasn't been any news since that news drop, and there hasn't been any trailers or screen caps of the animes as of yet. So I'm just sitting here waiting. So far in the gacha game, the entirety of the story has been covered except for the final chapter that's currently being worked on. And for the manga, it's kind of like not so much the halfway point. We're kind of like at the third dorm and there's like seven dorms to cover.
Oh, so there's still a lot left then.
Yeah, there is. But the gacha game itself, it's already like almost done.
Nice. I hope that if they make the anime, it's going to be fairly high quality, like high budget.
Yes, I kind of want it kind of the same way as how Black Butler looks, because that's a really good looking anime as well.
Yes, and you know, because you know, unfortunately, we can't trust Disney very much anymore, especially with its programming. So, but hopefully, they will invest enough to get the quality up to like Black Butler level. That would be great.
Yeah, yeah, and I hope they use Ayana Tabasol's art style for it as well. No one does art like her quite as well. And as for the gacha game, in Japan, they're the ones who are like already almost completed with their entirety of the story. But in so far, we have the dubbing. And we're not quite there yet. They're like more ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the localized version is behind.
Yeah, the localized version is kind of behind.
Yeah, it looked like it from what I saw. Like, it looked like the localized version didn't come out until like 2 years after the original release happened in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. And I think since then, there's definitely been more of a larger fan base of it. But I'm waiting to see people's reaction once the anime comes out for those who haven't seen or heard of, like, the gacha game. They'll be like, huh? They turned Maleficent into a twink? What? I can imagine that's going to be their reaction, because there's also other characters who, even though they don't have their own dorms, they are teachers, but they're like all gender bends, but all like represented different Disney villains.
I think that's about all the time we have for this episode. Where can we find you? If someone wants to check out your stuff.
I have a card, but also you can find me on Barog. My card is pindawick.card.co. I will link it to you. It does have all my social medias, but sometimes I have to remove the not safe for work stuff if I'm sharing it around. But you can find me on Pinowix, that's with an S at the end, on Barog.
Nice. Yeah, we will provide these links in the the episode.
And you're a VTuber. Do you have a certain schedule where you stream?
Not so much a schedule, but I do post when I'm going to be streaming on my Twitter, which thankfully that Twitter has not been suspended. You can find me on Misery Dollhouse on Twitter. I do stream like every other Thursday, mostly. But I am also on Princess X Misery on Twitch. And if for any VODs that anyone has missed, I do have it on YouTube.
And I think you do some streaming on Pomp as well.
Yeah, I do some on Pomp. I shall share for you. It is, I believe it's Miss X Misery on Pomp. Sometimes I do like not safe for work art streams, or sometimes I just stream movies there because, of course, Pomp allows it, thankfully.
Yes, I noticed that's an important staple of Pomp, is being able to watch movies. But that's fun though, to do it with like your followers.
Yeah. It has been fun. I have definitely streamed a lot of Disney movies on that site.
Yes, and I'm glad you do, because see what happened with me with Disney. I like watched a ton of Disney movies again, like in 2008, 2009, because they started coming out with Blu-ray versions of the movies. And man, it was so cool to see the classic Disney movies. Actually, I don't think I've watched Pinocchio in the HD version yet, and I got to do that because it looks like it's amazing. So I'm going to have to check that out.
I would highly recommend that.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us for this podcast episode. I had a good time talking about all sorts of fun Disney stuff and Pinocchio and Pinowick, and I hope we'll see continuing of your designs with your OCs and your comic that or if you do make a comic, that would be awesome. Or just, you know, the interactions between all those characters is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I will try my best, but also thank you guys for having me. This actually has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great having you.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad I can able to geek out about my interest and where that got me today.
Yes, and if you ever want to be back on the podcast, you're welcome to be.
Yes, thank you. I muchly appreciate that.